And gods. That's what I would like for us to consider this morning for a few minutes. What is an opinion? Well, I think we all know what an opinion is. So we might verbalize that a little bit. It's our belief or understanding about a certain subject or maybe an action or something that has happened or may happen. How do we form our opinions? Well, we form opinions in various ways. We may only receive one source of information for that opinion. We may receive many sources. We may stumble onto it and really not know much about it at all. But we need to know the details of what we're talking about to form the correct opinion, don't we? If we get the wrong information, then most likely we're going to form the wrong opinion. If we don't get any details and we don't investigate, we'll probably form the wrong opinion. If we have the details available but we don't use them, we'll probably form the wrong opinion. How many times have you changed your course of action on something that you thought was really important in your life? Or maybe you were about to make a decision on something and you sought other people's opinions. You know, the Bible says that a wise man seeks counsel, but a fool has got it all figured out himself. Basically, it's paraphrasing. But so if you sought opinions, how many times have you changed your opinion or how many times have you changed the action you were going to take because of someone else's opinion? Well, that probably varies with different people, doesn't it? My point that I want to make this morning is, regardless of how we get our information or what decision we make, we had better be aligned with God's opinion. Ultimately, my opinion and your opinion don't matter unless they line up with God's opinion. Then they do matter. For instance, if we are speaking to someone outside the church, or we're teaching our children, or going about our daily life, if our opinion is in line with God's opinion, then it does matter. But otherwise, it doesn't. Now, someone might say, well, I don't really have an opinion about this or that. Well, you know, when it comes to things of the world, there's things that we're not to be concerned with. There's things that really doesn't matter if we have an opinion or not when it comes to things of the world. We're told in the Scriptures that we don't need to be concerned with certain things, so we're not supposed to waste our time on them. But when it comes to God's will for our actions, when it comes to what we do in our spiritual life, we all do have an opinion by our actions. We might not state our opinion. We might try to keep our opinion hidden. Or, I'm sure everyone will agree here on this fact, I'm a pretty outspoken person. Does everybody agree with that? I thought you would. Okay? So I state my opinion, not on everything. But I think that we need to state it when it's appropriate. And if we're to be saved, that opinion has got to be God's opinion. And we as Christians need to be able and willing to back that up with the Scripture. And that's what I plan to do this morning on the few minutes that we have, the things that I have to say. I believe that I will give the Scriptures for those. You know, most of the religious world believes that God is loving and merciful. And they're very right about that. God is merciful. God is loving. And I'm thankful that He is, because if He wasn't, I would be lost. And I think you would too. We would all be lost. But the world also thinks that because God is loving and merciful, it's pretty much up to the individual to figure out how he wants to serve God. I'll serve God however I want to, because he's loving and merciful, and if I'm a good person, we'll all wind up in heaven. We're all going to the same place. Well, God's opinion is that they are wrong about that, as we see in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 7. There's one body, there's one spirit, there's one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Jesus Christ did not die and establish however many thousands of religious institutions there are in the world today. He is the head of one body. There's one head, and it's his body. And that's the one he paid for with his blood. And as Christians, that has to be our opinion, because it is God's opinion. I think that's pretty clear to most of us today that worship here. But it's not clear at all to, like I said, much of the religious world. Because that's not what they practice. That's not what they teach. That's not what they preach. And if we are to subscribe to ecumenicalism, then we could spend a Sunday here. We could spend a Sunday somewhere else. Or we could spend a Sunday at home. Because many religious institutions believe that's fine. That's not God's opinion. But I'm not here this morning. We're not here to talk about what the world believes. Because we're told many times by God that any and all people outside of the church that Christ established and died for are lost. Period. Acts 4 and 12. We're told that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of Christ. Ephesians 5 and 23. He is the Savior of the body. His body. That's God's opinion. Not mine. Well, it is mine, but it's mine because it's God's first. And that, I think, is the attitude we should have. Our opinion is simply that of God's. And so we need to find out what God's is. I'd like for you to consider this morning your opinion on spiritual matters only. On spiritual matters, not physical things. And whether or not that aligns with God. I find it interesting sometimes when, whether it's in the church or whether it's in our daily lives, there are things that people voice their opinion on by vote. All for, all against, and there might be 100 people, there might be 40 people for, there might be 40 people against. And there's 20 people that have no opinion. But they really do have an opinion. They just haven't stated it. And this morning, our actions or our lack of actions scream out to the world what our opinion is. That's God's opinion as we find it in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 43 and through 45. I'd like to read that. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. What you think is what you do. What I think is what I do. And we can fool ourselves and think, well, I think this and I think that, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Over a period of time, we don't keep it to ourselves at all. It becomes very evident in our actions. And Luke tells us here, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. There are several scriptures that talk about how our heart, which is really our mind, is what it's talking about. Our mind produces, it becomes evident in our actions. Now, there might be a time when you don't know if your opinion or understanding of a certain subject is right or not. And that's certainly, I think that's certainly true of all of us, especially when we come across something new. Or when there's something that we read in the scriptures that we don't understand, it's best that we don't form an opinion right away until we get all the information, like we said earlier. The important thing is we need to study the Bible because the answer is already there. And God is waiting for us to discover what that answer is. So when we come on things or we are faced with something and we're not sure yet what the answer is, well, the answer is study, and we will find the answer. We will find God's opinion. Sadly, there are members of the church who have obeyed the gospel through baptism, but then adopt the attitude of the religious world that I mentioned earlier. God's mercy will take care of me, and I don't really need to understand everything I can about God. He's going to save me. I'm in the church. In Revelation, the third chapter, verses 15 and 16, Christ told the Apostle John that the church at Laodicea was lukewarm. The reason they were lukewarm, or at least one of them, was because they were rich in this world's goods. They had lots of money. They had lots of comforts. I think we need to watch out for that. Do we have lots of money? Do we have lots of comforts? Yes, we do. Unbelievable comfort that we have. And so what happened to the church at Laodicea was they forgot God. And God said, "You're lukewarm," and how did he feel about that? It made him want to vomit. That's how it made him feel. And what is the fruit of a person who is lukewarm? Well, we just read about that, didn't we? We're known by our fruit. In 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, and verse 17, we're told that judgment begins at the house of God. At the end of time, and this is described in Matthew, the 25th chapter, the last part of that chapter beginning in verse 33, we're told at the end of time at judgment, we already know that the world is lost. Judgment, as Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and 17, begins in the church. There are those in the church who will not make it to heaven. We're told that very clearly. We want to make sure that we know what God's opinion is so we do make it to heaven. We have to be in the church to make it to heaven, but that's not a guarantee just because we've been baptized and show up for church. That's no guarantee, is it? So, how do we form our opinions, as I mentioned earlier? There were three or four things that came to mind. One, I see opinions formed sometimes by we listen to someone who sounds very intelligent about a subject. Maybe they're recognized as an expert, and they can stand before you and they can speak very smoothly, and everything they say seems agreeable to you. So sometimes people think, well, that sounds good to me. I'll go with that one. Or maybe we read a Bible commentary or a book written about something, and because it's a book, because it's in this form, because this person has been recognized and published, maybe they've paid to publish it, I don't know. But because it's in a book, well, that's probably good enough. Or, you know, we have this thing called the internet. And how many thousands of opinions are on the internet about anything you want to discover. Well, you know, all of those things we take into account. We see all those things, and we certainly can form good opinions by including those in our process. That's part of what edification is right now. Part of me standing before you, or part of the classes that we have, is those that have studied teaching and preaching about that. And you are to, as members of the church, we are to take that into consideration. But just because someone stands up and says something, just because they're maybe recognized by the rest of the church as maybe a great evangelist or whatever it may be, if we just take that at face value and accept it, we're going to find ourselves in a bad place, because all of us fall short. Or four, do we form our opinion by finding out what the details of God's opinions are from the Bible, by following 2 Timothy 2:15, by study, by Acts, what we see in Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 10 and 11. The Jews at Berea searched the Scriptures daily when Paul and Silas preached to them. They checked them out. When they heard something, they got their Old Testament out, because that's what they had then, and they checked out what the apostles were, or what Paul and Silas were telling them. They were looking for the truth. They were looking for God's opinion. So, when I talk about opinions, exactly what types of things should we be looking for God's opinion on? Well, all things. But speaking in generalities makes it very easy for the hearer to dismiss or minimize the statement on their life. In other words, when I stand before you and I speak in generic terms about we need to be a Christian, we need to live a good life, we need to do this, we need to do that, how pointed of a statement is that? Not very pointed at all, is it? When it really comes down to the nuts and bolts, we're talking about our everyday life and the decisions that we make every day. And if we don't take things personally, we can deceive ourselves. If we think, well, that doesn't really apply to me, you see, because I'm a little different. But God says it does apply to me and you. Because each of us have our own soul that we're responsible for. That's God's opinion, and it's found in Philippians 2 and 12, where we're told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't save you, and you can't save me. So, let's talk about a few details. I just want to bring up a few subjects and ask you, what's your opinion on these subjects? Is it God's opinion? Have you studied it? Have you formed an opinion yet? On matters such as marriage outside the church, the use of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription drugs, abortion, how to treat a former member of the church who has been withdrawn from, dancing, how men and women should dress, when you should be at church services, what to watch or not watch on television or the internet, how to raise children, the support of institutions other than the church that teach the Bible and produce teachers and preachers, what type of persons to associate with, how much time and money to spend on recreation, playing the lottery, and the list goes on. Do you have an opinion on these things? God does. Do you know what God's opinion is? That's what's really important, isn't it? And is your opinion in line with God's? The answers to all these things and anything that will come up in the future is right here. It's right here in this book. God already knows and has told us and wants us to find out and live by his opinion. God doesn't want us to be undecided or apathetic. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm or lazy regarding anything, really. Regarding not only spiritual matters, but physical matters. We're told not to be slothful in business. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter in verse 7, Paul told Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Ephesians 6 and 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A Christian that understands what God wants them to do is a strong person all the way around. They can make decisions. And they can follow them. And their life shows what they understand and what they believe. If we're not learned in the Scriptures, how can we serve God correctly? How can we teach our children? How can we teach those who are outside the church? Well, we couldn't. We can't. So we must all continue to learn and grow and be acceptable to God. That's His opinion, not mine. It's God's opinion that we know about Him. He said in the Old Testament, my children are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Let's make sure that doesn't happen to us. How will you and I report to God on our life's work as a Christian? When our life's done, and we stand before God, will we have to report that we were a coward and lazy, like the man who was given the one talent to work with in Matthew 25? Or will we be profitable, like the other two men who made good use of the money that they were given and their abilities? Your opinion and learning the details about these things and all other things matter. Because, why? Because we will all stand before God and we will give account to Him. And He's your Creator and He's mine. Christianity is a serious business. And we don't see that in the world. In much of the religious world that I'm talking about. What we see is simply celebration. What we see is total acceptance. And while we do, while a Christian who follows God is happy and is joyful and has the fruits of the Spirit, we also recognize that what's at stake, and that's our eternal soul that God put in each one of us. It's your salvation or it's your condemnation, and it's mine. And we are not going to be able to say, well, I was deceived, it's somebody else's fault. We can't say that when we got this. This is God speaking to you and me. And there's nothing complicated about Christianity, about being accepted by God. The steps to being accepted by God are very simple. If you believe in God, if you believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, came to this world to save all who are lost, if you repent, if you understand that you have sinned, and you want to change that, you want to repent from that, you want to do what's right, then all you have to do is confess before other people that Jesus is the Son of God, and you want to follow Him, and then be baptized. And God will wash away all your sins. And you become a new creature, a new person. And the guidebook is right here. All the answers are right here. And there are many people willing to help you. If that is your need this morning, and if that is your desire, we ask you to follow through on that as we stand and sing the song that Eddie has selected.